on 14.
Thank you.
Double-check my phone from Brother Caleb. Amen. You're welcome to go up there if you're a teen at heart. Show them, you know. Everybody says, how many stairs up to that upper room? Amen. John 14 tonight. We're going to take a break out of Hebrews just for tonight. I think maybe we'll see. I get tunnel vision through the seasons, and not that it matters because we're not like this traditionalist thing, but there's so much untruth taught around Easter. It's incredible. And so I want to make sure make sure we're holding those things up. I wanted to look at John chapter 14 and just to emphasize how it's all about the Lord Jesus, and then show another view in John 18, which is more consistent with what we see in the world today about thoughts towards the Savior. But want to do that tonight, and I'm thankful in the past I've gotten to, you know, talk about Easter time, and I just remember the first few times being in Pasco, pastor going over, 3 days and three nights and all those things where, you know, because Friday you're going to hear, oh, it's Good Friday and these things, and I'll ask people what's good about the Friday, and, well, you know, Jesus, you paid for our sin on Friday, and I'm thinking, like, that just doesn't make sense to me. And the part that gets me is if you'll squish on one thing, what will you not squish on in the Bible? Like, what if you say, well, you know, it's just kind of, we don't really look at that. Right? Like, salvation's in the Bible. My assurance of salvation's in the Bible. Redemption's in the Bible. Justification's in the Bible. That's all in the Bible. So it's like, I just can't. And then the attitude towards the, towards the resurrection, you know, when you believe the Lord and you believe His word, and you want—I mean, you should believe Him enough. If I say something that comes across that you would, you say, oh, well, I don't, bitch, I believe the word of God. I mean, that's how close you want to be to the Lord, and you want to believe His word and you want to trust it and to know it and not assume it's right because what somebody else said. Get in there and look. It just doesn't make sense. He had a prophetic statements about Jonah. Jonah wasn't in the whale for a day and a half. He was in there 3 days and three nights, and the whale had enough and spit him out. And it is a picture of those things. But John chapter 14, we'll have one more prayer, and then we'll start up there in verse number 1. Lord, we thank you for your grace to us. We pray that you would help us tonight. We do pray for Pastor Club and, Lord, also for the practicing in John 15 upstairs tonight. Lord, we pray that you bless the youth rally, Lord, our preachers down at Kenai, Father, whoever will be preaching that night, we just pray that you would do a work. Pray for Brother Martin coming our way, Lord. We ask that you bless tonight, Father, and help us as we check our hearts, Lord, and just to look at your word. We thank you so much for all that you do for us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. The first verse of John 14, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way, ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? There's no problem having questions. There's no, sometimes somebody say, can I ask you this? I got a dumb question. There's no dumb questions. You ask the Lord. But if your questions are stemmed from doubt, I'd say, well, that's probably not good. If you're doubting what he's already said, you have to take him and just trust what he says. He says, this is where I'm going. And Thomas asks the question, how can we know the way? Right? How can we know the way? Like it is separate from Jesus. Does it make sense? Like I'm going somewhere and I'm like, okay, where was I going the other night? I took Brother Penix rig back for Brother Israel had it. Parked at the house and I want to get it out of there for it. Like snow melting, I got his rig stuck in my driveway or whatever. I had to dig it out. Anyhow, I'm going up to Murphy and Mrs. Garner was lagging behind. I was like, oh, she has not been up there as much as I have. And I was like, we better slow down and make sure she knows when I take a left or a right or whatever that she knows, right? That's just so she can follow. And Thomas is almost like, hey, Lord, what? I mean, how can we know the way? And it's not about this way or that. It's him. It's Jesus. Well, when we talk about truth, that's what we're talking about. You can almost substitute the word, the name, Christ, Jesus Christ, in for righteousness in the scriptures, for truth in the scriptures, all these things. Because if you're looking at those things separate from him, I don't know if there's a mental separation it takes to think like, oh, he's going away that we don't know. No, we know him. We know the way. It's the way of Christ. And Thomas asks the question. Jesus answers the question. I am the way, verse 6 says. I'm the truth and the life. And we know that. We see the definite article, the there, I'm the only way. That's it. The only way. And people don't like that, but it's the truth. He's the only one that's risen for the dead. You see all the advertisements for the different Jesus movies and the films and stuff been popping up the last couple of weeks. And there's one called Risen that I hadn't seen before. There's a life, I don't know what's it called, life something. There's a streaming service or whatever. It's supposed to, I don't know if it's Christian Films or whatever. That's one I hadn't seen. I was like, oh, but there's this Roman soldier and he's tasked with finding Jesus's body. And I think, I don't know, but it, like the way the trailer looks, it looks like maybe this guy, comes to have faith in Christ at the end, maybe because he looked, he's like, he's not here. You know, I've gone everywhere. Look, he's not here. All these people are telling me he's in me. You know, he's here. He's in the room with us. You know, where is he? I want to take him. You know, that kind of thing. Those things are popping up. We see those things. But Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So it's very important that we know the Lord. It's very important that our relationship with the Lord is secure. And you know that. I know that. Verse 7, if ye had known me, okay, if ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. Should have known my Father also. Because Jesus said, we're one. We're one. I want to go to the Father. But we've seen the Son. And the Father and the Son are together. From henceforth, you know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. And I know Philip and Thomas probably are just there, maybe not short with the Lord, but maybe troubled as if he's spoken riddles to them, or they're just not getting it. They're just not getting it. And Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet thou hast not known me, Philip? That's a challenge. There's a difference between being a disciple and being a Christian. There's a big difference. You know, I'd say, man, you're following the Lord. You want to be, I mean, close. You know, one of many people? No, the main central person in your thoughts. You want to be close. And he's, how long have they been with him? It's been a long time. Long time. I mean, it should be starting to sink in here. These things that are going to happen. These things that are going to take place. And he asked Philip, yet hast thou not known me? Question, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. How sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Right? Consistent with Jesus' others, he said, I came to do the Lord's, the Father's will, the will of him that sent me. I mean, that's how we get our will from God the Father. I mean, it's like, how do you know what you're doing? So I'm just doing what God's asked me to do. I'm just taking it one step at a time. And verse 11, he says, believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. Okay? Not for the Father's works that he's doing through the Son. 12, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I shall do, that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Always an interesting verse growing up, reading that and thinking, man alive, how are we going to do things like the Lord Jesus? But when God the Father works through us, there's no difference there. There's no difference in seeing the things that are done. We're going to be here longer than Jesus was here on the earth. We'll go to chapter 18. So Jesus is there talking to the disciples, and we see that he's the central figure. He is the one to know. That word came up again and again and again. So we know the Lord. And then 18, are we going to stick with the Lord? So in 18, we have, we don't have time to go. We'll go through a chunk of it here. Man alive, when I was reading and studying for this and run into a phrase here down at the, towards the end, is just so fitting of where we are today. Let us go to 18 verse number 15. Simon Peter followed Jesus. So they've come, they've arrested him in the garden. They've come to take him. And it's just so interesting. I mean, Jesus talks, they all fall to the ground, you know. And he's not, I don't know if you saw the guy in Portland the other day, the Antifa rally, and they hit his car or his truck and gets out and broke his window. And he, you know, pulls a gun on these guys after he gets sprayed with bear spray and just like, oh, I mean, you can imagine the Lord just as gentle as can be. Turn and talk to people, and they just all fell away. You know, this guy reached in his pocket and pulled out his gun and loaded it, and those people just scattered like that. Jesus didn't have to do that. They looked for me. They all fell to the ground, the Bible says. It's just amazing. But they've taken him. Verse 15, Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. That disciple was known unto the high priest, and went in with Jesus into the palace of the high priest. Peter stood at the door without, then went out that other disciple, which was known unto the high priest, and spake unto her that kept the door, and brought in Peter. Then saith the damsel that kept the door unto Peter. Why she didn't ask the other disciple, I don't know. Art not thou also one of this man's disciples? Can't wait till these days. I mean, you know, we should always have an answer, right, as a Christian. He told Philip and he told Thomas, you should know. You should know. How long have I been with you? You should know. And for a stranger to look and say, hey, aren't you? I mean, it should be settled. It should be dialed in. It's been a super interesting time to live and seeing people that are just, hey, I'm on the Lord's side, bless God. I don't care what happens. I don't care what anybody does. I don't care what anybody says. I'm on the Lord's side. Can't move me. I'm like a fixed plate, and I'm not moving. But then, well, we got a lot of young Christians. They're going to be like a lot of weak Christians. The Bible talks about the deception in the last days. It says the very elect could be deceived. I mean, if there's not one for the Lord, I mean, the deception is going to be terrible. All the different stuff going on with, everything, vaccine stuff, passport stuff, all this, you know, we got to do this. I'm not down with that. I'm just not. If God speaks to me and says, you need to go do this, I'm going to do it. And it comes down to the person. And we talked about it at men's retreat. Are you going to get a vaccine? I don't plan to. I sat with Brother Compton at dinner, preacher. He's like, brother, you should just get that vaccine. I love Brother Compton. If I was in Brother Compton's shoes, yeah, I'd do it. Man, plus they can get in and out of the village. I don't have to quarantine and they don't have to do that. If they get that, they go, I get it. I understand. Makes sense. We want to follow him. She asks, aren't you one of his disciples? He saith, I am not. And we know Peter, poor Peter, man, this I don't know how long this took. It doesn't take very long in scripture here. It's less than 10 verses. 18, the servant and the officer stood there who had made a fire of coals, for it was cold. They warmed themselves. Peter stood with them and warmed himself. A high priest then asked Jesus of his disciples and of his doctrine. Jesus answered him, I spake openly to the world. I ever taught in the synagogue and in the temple, whither the Jews always resort, and in secret have I said nothing. Why askest thou me? Ask them which heard me what I have said unto them. Behold, they know what I said. And when he had thus spoken, one of the officers which stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, Answerest thou the high priest so? And Jesus answered him, If I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil. But if well, why smitest thou me? Now Annas had sent him bound unto Caiaphas the high priest, and Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. They said therefore unto him, Art not thou also one of his disciples? He denied it and said, I am not. One of the servants of the high priest, being his kinsman, whose ear Peter cut off, saith, Did not I see thee in the garden with him? Peter then denied again, and immediately the cock crew. Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment, 28, and it was early, and they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. And so he's delivered to Pilate. Pilate then went out unto them and said, What accusation bring ye against this man? He's all business, right? What is it? Who is it? What do you got going on? And it's the Lord. And he goes to Pilate, and I would imagine that he's intrigued. It's not like anybody else, but he comes to him in that manner. Who is this? They answered and said unto him, If he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him up unto the malefactor, one who commits a crime, particularly that worthy of capital punishment, is a malefactor. And they said, He's worthy of death. Then said Pilate unto him, Take ye him and judge him according to your law. The Jews therefore said unto him, It's not lawful for us to put any man to death. It's quite a trial. I feel horrible for this police officer in Minnesota. I just like, oh man. I mean, I'm just saying, for the person, for the process. Supposed to be innocent until proven guilty. In America, supposed to be. Supposed to be. I don't know what's going to happen when they say, look, God did what he was trained to do, all this stuff. I mean, they're pulling on all the strings. I've listened to it at every angle. Why would they? A lot of people thought he was overcharged to start with. They say, man, you can overcharge this guy. It's going to be hard to hold him to what you charged him for. Maybe if you would have charged him for less, you may have got him for third degree or something. Just any of those things. But it was just like he had the intent. He woke up, ate his breakfast that morning with blood in his eye. And that's how they're painting this guy. I'm thinking, he went to work. Yeah, I don't agree with all the mercy. Not good. And Jesus just gets marched through all this stuff. And they're ready to put him to death. Ready to see him die. That the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, 32, which he spake, signifying what death he should die. 33, then Pilate entered into the judgment hall and called Jesus and said unto him, Art thou the king of the Jews? Jesus answered him, Sayest thou this of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. My kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight. That I should not be delivered to the Jews, but now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. We covered this a while back on Sunday night. Pilate saith unto him, What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and said unto them, I find in him no fault at all. 39. But ye have a custom that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will you therefore that I release unto you the King of the Jews? Then cried they all again, saying, and this is what I got for tonight, next three words, not this man, not him. Unbelievable. At 14, we see he's the only one. He's the one, he tells Thomas. He loves Thomas. I mean, you got those people in your life that just, I mean, every time you see him, you're bringing them up. You got to help them. You got to help this guy. He's like, bring them up. Oh, man, dude, just help them. Helping Thomas. I struggled believing. I mean, it's Thomas's pattern, right? Then he says, boy, I got to touch the man. I got to touch him. I can't believe he's here. He was crucified. I just can't believe it. And here's Jesus. I didn't be ugly with him. He said, Thomas, here we are. Watched him eat. Watched him drink. He said, here, handle me. Touch me. And he was kind. He was patient to Thomas. And he tells Philip. I mean, Philip's a great preacher. And all these men are going to go, and they're going to give their life for the cause of Christ. They're going to preach. They're going to spread out. Many of them are going to give their life for the gospel. They're going to go do those things. We don't get to see all that in the scriptures. Some of it we do, but some of it is in other places you got to read and look, and they're going to go and do that. And he is the most important person that's ever been. We'll talk about it Sunday. I don't know what the missionary is going to preach on Sunday, but 3 days, three nights, they took the greatest soldiers, the greatest military power in the history of the world to stand and keep him inside a tomb, and nobody could do it. And he's the one. And they said, not him, not this man. It's so cold towards the Lord. I mean, this world is just so cold. We watch the things that come on the news, and we see this guy selling these Satan shoes. I saw it last week. I almost said something Sunday, but I didn't want to kill them. I don't want to kill the spirit, because I don't want to talk about the devil more than needs be. But it's been incredible what's been sneaking on the television. Oh, but hey, we're going to cancel the cartoons, but we're going to promote this. And it's just saying, not this man. They'll take anybody, but not this man. Not this man. You have to make sure that we are teaching the ones below us. We got to make sure we're teaching the ones around us. We got to make sure that we don't freeze up when somebody says, are you one of his disciples? Do you go to church? Do you go to what? Do you know the? Hey, yes. Absolutely yes. Absolutely. I was driving around the other day. I said, our country is so sorry. We're so pathetic. There's people afraid of, oh, man, let me share the gospel with somebody. What are they going to do? They're going to do nothing. Absolutely nothing. They won't touch somebody burning buildings down. What are they going to do for you? They don't even believe what you say is true. I mean, I'm kind of excited about it. I was joking with Brother Warren. We were driving around and they do stuff, and he cut his teeth preaching juvenile detention facilities. And I said, just so interesting. He said they were in school, whatever, they were in school like three nights a week. And he said they had to find a place to preach their other two nights. And he said they'd go anywhere. They said they could only one of those days could be street preaching. So they had to find a group of people to preach to. He said every so often they'd go to a radio station and buy time to preach on these radio stations. He said, just crazy. But he got to preach at juvenile detention facilities. Got to go in and go to these places. And he was really close in age to them. Got to go do it. And that's what I told him. I said, go ahead. You know, stick me in there. We've been in there. And we would just start prison ministry. I mean, it'd be exciting, right? But mercy, don't shrink back. God said, somebody said, man, do you know? Oh, yes. Let me tell you about the Lord. Oh, yes. I mean, I truly believe this is as good a time as any time there is to witness and talk to people about Christ. You talk about wars and rumors of wars. Again, I didn't mention it on Sunday, but on Saturday, Friday and Saturday, Iran and China got together. 25 years China's going to be buying oil from Iran. 25 years. $4 billion worth of oil over the next 25 years because of what's been going on. And so we got the two evils over there. So what are you saying? Are you, I'm just saying, hey, wars, rumors of wars, all those things are going to be here. That's what we're supposed to expect, right? Of people in the Middle East, right? I mean, we're glad for what we saw the last few years. I mean, it is a blessing to see what Mr. Pompeo and others have done in the Middle East. But are we expecting that stuff to last forever? We're saying, oh, boy, it's going to... No, no, it's going to be a mess before it gets better, right? It's going to be. I've been listening to a book on CD, and there was a testimony of a gentleman that spent 8 years in the Hanoi Hilton, Scottsdale. Anybody ever heard of the Scottsdale principle? And it's in a book called The Good to Great, the business book. But just talked about how do you get up every day when things aren't good? How do you, in your mind, tell yourself? And this was the thing. It was about, you know, about business and making business decisions. Stuff like that. You've got to look at the ugly truth. The things that are just, you got to look at, you got to be real with what's going on around you. And they, just amazing. I mean, he was, did torture multiple times, and I think he teaches on campus at Stanford or something now. Just impressive individual. But they have this whole principle that he said, one, you have to look reality in the face and deal with it. And next, you have to have a faith. And he didn't talk about the Lord. He just used the word faith. You got to have a faith that you're going to get out. One day you're going to get out. And they asked him, I said, well, who didn't make it in there? He said, all the optimists. All the optimists died. Because they say, well, we're going to be out by Christmas. Then Christmas come and Christmas would go. Oh, we're going to be out by Easter. Easter would come and Easter would go. Oh, we're going to be out by Thanksgiving. And then the next Christmas would come. He said they all died of broken hearts and they never made it out of that place. To the optimist. They say, well, I got a good attitude about it. There's some ugly things going on, and it's going to get ugly. And you have to see that. That's what's going to happen. There's no promise in Scripture that says we're not going to suffer persecution. It says you shall if you live godly in Christ. It's going to happen. Different forms, different ways, different whatever. We're seeing it manifested more and more. But Lord, help us. Are we going to be with a crowd that says, not that man? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. No way! No way! Let it be seen, and I don't care if we. I mean, I pray that elections go better down the road, and we'll do our part to see that happen. But that's not the answer. Christ is the answer. We must have the Lord foremost in the front of all things, and to tell people about Him. But mercy, Bible says, then cried they all again, saying, "Not this man, but Barabbas." It says, now Barabbas was a robber. Anybody but Christ. And that's where we sit. That's where we're at. But honest with my kids, I'm like, hey, look, you want to be friends with this person? Do they know the Lord? No, I know. Like, how are they going to help you to know the Lord better? It's a blessing getting to be around other families and they're, you know, good bunch of boys up at men's retreat and stuff, and to be around those guys, and I said, this is great. It makes a huge difference. Caleb Compton's getting ready to go to Pensacola. And I just thought, man, like Selowik to Florida. It can be like Selowik, or it can be like Florida in Selowik for like, I don't know, 2 weeks out of the year. I mean, to have a sandy beach in Selowik Lake, if the wind's not blowing, it can be, mosquitoes aren't packing you off. It can be pretty nice. But man, I just thought, wow. I said, hey, look, I know some people down there. I said, I know some more people down there. I mean, just let us know. You can get down there and just be, you end up with the crowd. You know, warming fire, you know, the old burn barrel, you know, I mean, I'm a burn barrel redneck. They've been outlawed in Washington for years, you know, and anything that's outlawed, you should have at least two or three of them. If it makes common sense, I'm just thinking, if it makes common sense, anyhow, no, you're just standing by the fire, and you're just with them, right? Nobody wants to be singled out. And, you know, life, for a young person to get singled out, it just kills them. It's just like, man, are you going to church? You're, oh, no. Man, got to encourage them. Got to encourage people to stand up for the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, let not your heart be troubled. And I'm thinking, man, if that old boy could be in that, I mean, oof, the Hanoi Hilton, man, for 8 years, and his—I don't know how he did it. I don't know how he did it, but he communicated with his wife. he can still write out, which I can't hardly believe. I haven't read his book. It makes me want to go. Anytime I hear stuff like this, I'm like, I'm going to go read and learn about this. He developed a Morse code tapping system because they couldn't talk. I mean, if they got tough, if they spoke to one another, they got beat, right? Because they could organize and do all these things. He developed this tapping system, and he said they got, can't remember what happened. They got put, something happened. They got in trouble, and the men were out sweeping the yard, and they tapped their brooms on the ground all day to this guy because he'd gotten in trouble just saying, "I love you, we love you," just tapping that on the ground to this guy. I said, "Man, that is absolutely amazing." But the mindset is what caught me in this testimony. It's saying, you know what? We got to deal with the ugly truth. There are people out here that hate God. They absolutely hate the Lord. And that doesn't enable us to, well, we're going to hate them back. No, we got to love them. We talked about that on Sunday. It's tough. It's tough, but that's what Jesus would do. He wasn't ugly to Pilate. He wasn't ugly to this gentleman that hit him for speaking the truth. He wasn't angry and ugly to Peter for hanging in the back. He did what he had to do. And as Christians, it's our time to do what we need to do. Yeah, what a great opportunity to talk to people about the Lord this time of year. But mercy, just remember that three-word phrase, not this man, not him. We'll take anybody else but him. Father, we do thank you for loving us. We do pray that you bless our prayer time. Thank you for the opportunity to have church tonight. Lord, thank you so much for your grace to us. Thank you so much for being willing to go through these things for us. We just ask that you bless our time in prayer. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.